Conference recording. A new participant has joined the conference.
Spider Jones, Sport North Federation.
Perfect. Hello, Spider. Nice to have you on the call today. This is Mia.
Hi, Mia. Thanks very much for inviting me to join.
Fantastic. Okay, so Spider, I'm just going to do a quick little intro. I'd like to welcome everybody to today's conference call, and the conference call is on finding money in the not-so-ordinary places. And I know that a lot of people expressed a lot of interest in this area. How do I generate more funds so that I can do more programming and offer more special events and so forth? So first, before I ask you guys to mute, if you could, one by one, I'll call your name, and then if you could just introduce yourself very briefly, what community you're from and territory, because we are across the north, and what is your position, what's your role, okay? So I'd like to start with Jessica, please.
Sure, it's Jessica Van Overbeek. I work as the Executive Director for the McKenzie Recreation Association here in NWT. My office is based out of Yellowknife.
Perfect. Thank you, Jessica. And Ursula, please.
Yeah, hello. It's Ursula Engler from Tagish. I'm with Recreation and Parks. I do quite a few contract groups out here in Tagish, try to get our little community moving.
Thank you, Ursula. Next up is Stephanie.
Hi, it's Stephanie Davidson from Dawson City, Yukon, and I'm the new mentoring coordinator for the Big Brothers Big Sisters program.
Thank you very much, Stephanie. Cindy.
Cindy Underhill, the recreation director in CarMax, Yukon.
Thank you very much. And Ashton.
Hi, everybody. So my name is Ashton Staffin. I'm working as a sport and a health science coordinator with Special Olympics British Columbia. I have been doing health consulting in Yukon, but I am now in Vancouver.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ashton. Shelby.
Hi, I'm Shelby. I'm the executive director at Bite Empowering Youth, and we're located here in Whitehorse.
Thanks very much. And Brittany, please.
Hey, everyone. My name is Brittany Dale Porter. I'm in Whitehorse, and I am the program director for Special Olympics Yukon.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Last but not least, we have Spider.
I'm Spider Jones. I'm a multi-sport executive director here in Yellowknife. I also do some special project work for Sport North out of Yellowknife.
Perfect. Thank you very much, everybody. So if you could all, at this point in time, would you please press star 6 so that you are muted, which makes the call clearer. And then Dawn, I'm going to introduce Dawn, and we'll get into launch into a discussion. Remember that if you ever want to ask a question or a comment or a suggestion, star 6 again will unmute you. Okay? Awesome. Okay, so I'd like to introduce our guest speaker today, Dawn Curry, and she is, I love this little bio, it makes me laugh. Dawn is the only staff person at RPAN, which is Recreation and Parks Association of Nunavut. She indicated that she packs boxes, coordinates events, plans and implements programs, coordinates meetings, updates the website, travels to communities, hosts project training programs, oversees the finances, basically whatever it takes for RPAN to best support community recreation. So while RPAN is greatly supported by the government of Nunavut, the financial support doesn't cover all the costs. In each of the last 2 years, Dawn has been successful in obtaining more than $200,000, which is 48% of RPAN's total funding, from outside. So basically, she was commenting, there is money everywhere. You just need to know where to look and how to prepare your proposals. And on that note, I would like to welcome Dawn to the conversation. Thanks very much, Dawn.
Hey, thanks, Mia, and thank you, everyone, for having me. I hope that that you guys have questions that you ask, and I hope that by the end of the hour, you found one or two different ways to potentially go and get some additional funding for your communities and for your programs. So just also to add, while I am the only staff person with ARPAN, I actually do contract. I do it as a contract from my home in Kingston, Ontario. That said, I did live in Cambridge Bay, Nunavut, for 8 years. I lived in Baker Lake, Nunavut, for 2 years.
Yeah, it's...
pardon me?
Yeah.
Oh.
Right.
Born and raised in
Northern.
Hey, hang on, Dawn. There might be somebody who is not muted. If you make sure that everybody presses star 6 to make sure that they are muted. We're getting another voice in there. Sorry, Dawn, I'm not sure where that's coming from. Okay. Do you want to try and continue?
Yeah. So I was born and raised in northern Manitoba. I also do contract work with Nunavut Soccer Association. And I was the director of sport development for Speed Skating Canada. So my experience has always been, with the exception of Speed Skating Canada, has always been in smaller communities in northern parts of Canada or Manitoba. And even when I was with Speed Skating Canada, I worked with the community clubs and the grassroots end of sport. That's kind of my passion. You know, I've had a few flops and a few failures along the road, but I think we've had some pretty good successes. So as Mia has mentioned, I'll give you a bit. ARPAN is only four years old. 4 years ago when we started, our budget was just under $50,000. I think it was around $35,000, of which was from the government of Nunavut. This year our operating budget is $542,000, of which $300,000 come from the government, and the other $242,000 is from outside sources. And I was able to get roughly the same amount of dollars last year. So we do have some success, and some of it, you know, is more focused on Nunavut funding that's available to us. But there are pots out there that people may not be aware of, and there are some kind of fun different projects also that people may not be aware of that I thought I'd share with you today, and like I said, hopefully it helped. So as we all know, the pot that we can get money from is only so full. It can only go so far. It's not growing tremendously, but our organizations are all growing, and we all need more money than what we get. I think it's also fair to say that we're all going after the same money in our different jurisdictions, and some of us are going after the same money nationally. You have groups in your communities, other groups that are also going after the same money. And when you live in a smaller community, there's only so much money, so everyone's going after it. Because of that, we have to get creative. We have to figure out what are some neat ways or different ways to identify funding, and what are ways that we can apply, get funding that we're not competing all the time with other groups in our communities. As a territorial organization, ARPAN has access to funding that maybe a community may not. So therefore, there's no need for us to go after the money that only a community can access, and take that away from them. So you have to be a little bit smart also, when we're going after the funding. One of the things that I've found over the last couple of years is when we're going after different funders, and I'll tell you when, so I'm going to back up a bit. There's a program called Grants Connect. Now, you have to subscribe to it, and I think it's $700 a year. But it has every single grant and every single foundation in Canada that's available to every spectrum that's looking for money. And $700, I think it's $742 with taxes, may seem like a large amount. However, it's been really successful for ARPAN. So when you get, when you get a subscription to it, I just go on to that subscription and I punch in all the keywords that RPAN's looking for: youth, leadership, development, suicide prevention, recreation, sport, and then I punch in the territory for Nunavut. And it automatically updates every single grant and foundation in Canada that's available to us, right from $5,000 grants to hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of grants. So, there will be one in there, say, and you click on it, and it will say, we have funded over the last 5 years. It lists every single organization that it's funded, how much they've given, what that organization has been given money for. So then you can tell if what you're looking for money for fits in to their overview or into their criteria. So if anyone wants to look on the website, it's grantsconnect.ca. I said you can't go and search unless you have a password or administrator sort of thing. One thing to get around whether it's right or wrong, we've done is there's been a couple groups in Nunavut that have wanted to access it. They don't have tons of money, so they pay us a little fee or a part of the subscription, and then we give them our codes. I'm not sure if that's the right or wrong way to do it, but $700 a year may be a lot for a group. But if you get one grant, you've made back that $742. So for RPAN, it's a wise investment. When we look at the different grants, for example, Loblaws. Now, Loblaws has a grant that is available to support after-school programs. So when I found that grant, I went on to their website and looked at their organization for starters. What's their vision? You know, what's their community involvement goals and that sort of thing? And when I did up the proposal, and I think it's really important, is that because Loblaws has a shared vision. It's a business, and they're selling food and all that kind of stuff. But they have a vision under their community involvement area to support communities and to help communities become, a bit more healthier. And so when I did up the proposal for them, and I do this with all of my proposals, I search out everyone's website. I find out about that organization, what their vision is, what their goals are, if it's a business, what their community involvement goals are, and then make sure in the very cover that's being sent to them, so the very first thing they read is you talk about the shared vision you have with them, and you congratulate them on having that strategy or having that goal or having this grant, and you congratulate them on all this work that they're doing. So I think it's really important is to make sure that you're searching out the funding that's available that shares your vision, because otherwise you're creating a different application and you're almost changing your own goals to meet the goals and mandates of someone else just to get a buck or two. I'm not sure if that makes sense or not. I found a couple years ago I was applying for dollars, and by the time I was done some of my proposals, the program didn't even look like RPANs anymore. It was looking like the program that whoever I was applying for. And so it's far easier if you can find different groups that have shared visions. It's also important to note as northern communities, and I'll go back to Loblaws again. Loblaws is not in Nunavut for sure. I don't know. I don't believe it's in NWT, and I'm not sure about Yukon. But it's not in Nunavut. And so I just picked up a phone, and I just said, you know, I'm calling for Nunavut. We don't have any Loblaw stores. We'd still like to be able to access the funding because it's towards healthy snacks for after-school programs. And they asked, and we're not a charity either, and so they had wanted, you know, you to be a charity as well. They actually assigned us to a Loblaw store in Ontario, and they went online and they removed the charitable status requirement. And so they're, you know, some groups are pretty accommodating if you pick up the phone and say, this is who we are, this is what we're doing, you know, we don't have this or this, can we still apply? So sometimes it's really important, you know, not to rely just on emails and not to rely on online applications, but to pick up a phone and make that personal connection with that potential funder or grant provider, because you've personalized it a little bit and you've made them feel their value, or you value them in what you're doing for your project and for your community and or organization. Any questions so far or comments? None? Okay. One of the other things, and I'm not sure, you know, I'm speaking now for Nunavut. One of the things that we find happens an awful lot in Nunavut is the quality of the application. So whether you're applying for, you know, $1,000 funding or $5,000 or $50,000 app funding grant or program, I think it's really important to make sure that your applications that you're submitting, your proposals, are written well or well written, and that you've done your homework. I know in Nunavut, and part of this is our capacity issue, and, you know, we get applications and they're two sentences long, and they're saying, we want to run an after-school program, we need $5,000. And that's their application. And they're applying for the same, they're using the same ones when they're applying for a $50,000 grant, too. And so, you know, part of our challenge in Nunavut is making sure that, our applications are being well prepared, and that sort of thing. One of the things I wanted to talk to you guys about in terms of, you know, a couple neat ideas that are not grant related, because I think that's something, you know, there's grants, but then there's also one-offs that we can try. And I go back to, we did this in speed skating with some of the communities. Actually, I didn't start it, but we picked up on it. About 12 years ago, I worked with a club in North Sydney, Cape Breton. There's no work around that area at all. And the businesses were struggling, and they were having a really hard time, you know, with paying for their ice time, which at that time was almost $200 an hour for youth, which was one of the highest in Canada. And they found that, you know, everyone goes to businesses all the time and says, do you have $500? Do you have $1,000? Do you have $5,000? And if you talk to, you know, a friend of yours that might own a business in especially in small towns, but, you know, in larger centers as well, they are inundated with requests daily for funding to help pay for something. And a business can't support all the requests. They don't have the money, and most of the requests are large. So in Sydney, they had an idea to go on a campaign to buy an hour of ice. So they sent a letter to every business in town and in that whole area and just invited them to buy an hour of ice to support the youth speed skating program. And they told them what it cost for their ice time. I think it was around $171 with taxes. And that one letter campaign got them enough money to pay for their ice for 2 years. Because a business can pay $200, but they can't, they don't have $1,000 every time someone asks them. And so that became an initiative that this, I don't know, I'm not sure if that club is still running, but they did that every couple years because it was an effective way for them to get their ice rental paid. And it was a way for the community business to feel like they were supporting these kids and the program, and they could afford it. And at the end of the year, you know, they invited every single business that gave them that check for $171, and some of them bought 2 hours. But they just invited them to their year-end kind of fun skate thing so that those businesses could meet the kids that they supported for that year. And we used to share that all the time with other clubs, and I share that with information with the communities in Nunavut. There's not lots of businesses in some of the communities, but some of the small businesses, that's all that they can afford. And so it became a creative way of generating money that they needed to run that speed skating program for the little kids. And in Nunavut, we're actually in the process right now of writing that letter to all the businesses in Nunavut. We've reworded it so it's not an hour of ice. We've kind of put a dollar value on an hour's worth of play for kids, and we've combined some equipment in there and whatnot. And so we're trying to generate dollars for ARPAN, of which 90% of our funding, 90 to 95, goes directly back to the communities, whether it's through training or grants or whatnot. So that becomes a very easy way to potentially, you know, generate some dollars. And if you get $1,000 out of it, or you get $2,000, it's $1,000 more than you had the day that you started writing those letters. And I think that's just one idea that's kind of different. It's not a grant. It's not a foundation. It's not government funding. But it's something to it was an effective way of generating dollars in smaller communities that didn't have the capacity, you know, to have a bunch of money contributed by business. Another program that I'm sure some of you guys are aware of, because I know I think on the call there's some Special Olympic people, and they do it at Staples every year. And I know that there's no one from Hay River on this call, but Hay River runs a Lights On program, and they use the Roundup. But another program that you can go to your local grocery stores, and up north it's Northern, and ARPAN, Northern and Co-op in Nunavut, and ARPAN right now is in negotiations with or discussions with Co-op to do this. Is this the Roundup program, so that when I go to buy groceries and it comes to, you know, $19.74, they just ask if we want to round it up to $18 or whatever the amount was, $20, the next dollar up. And that 25 cents goes to ARPAN for Sport and Rec. And in doing that, it doesn't cost anyone anything. And so that becomes another program that your stores, grocery stores in your communities may want to participate in. And going back to the Hay River Initiative, they run a Lights On program, and it's it's for youth in the evenings on weekends, and it's a safe place to go and have some fun. And they learn about, they do some recreation stuff, they do cooking. You can't be on drugs, you can't be drinking. There's all that kind of stuff. They run it for a month every year, and within that month, just in Hay River alone, they generate more than $25,000 through one grocery store in Hay River. So what they've done is, And we have, like, we've also have a proposal that, like I said, is at the co-op stores right now, our main office. But this program doesn't cost that grocery store anything. It's a button on their cash register that just has to be installed so that there's an automatic calculation, you know, every time some money is rounded up. And I know, like I said, I referred to Special Olympics and Staples. Because down south, and I'm not sure which month it is, but they have a certain period every year where they ask if you'd like to round it up for Special Olympics. And they might have changed that now to donate, you know, a dollar or something and you write your name on a lease. But it's an effective way of doing something. People don't mind to give 25 cents or 75 cents, you know, their change from grocery shopping. But when you go knocking at the doors and ask for people in the community to donate some money, it becomes a little bit harder. But there's hundreds and hundreds of people going to those grocery stores every single day, and they're asking for or they're shopping. And so I said it becomes a pretty effective way of generating some dollars without costing anyone anything. And I think that's why some of the grocery stores or some of the different stores tap into that or will agree to that because it does not cost them anything at all. Any questions so far or comments? Nothing?
Hey, Dawn, it's Mia calling. Mia, sorry. I'm just finding this absolutely fascinating. I hope that other people on the call are getting some good ideas because this is really cool, and I'm new to this, so I'm not really sure what's available in our town, Whitehorse, or in the smaller communities. So fantastic information so far. I think a few people have unmuted. Is there anyone else that wants to add a comment? Nope. Okay.
No?
Yeah, you can keep going.
I'm not sure if I'm on the right track with what you want or not. I have to admit it's the first time I'm doing something like this, so I may just sort of be jumping all over it if I am. Slow me down a little bit.
Well, I'm taking notes, I think it's totally relevant, and if anybody else, you know, wants to steer in a different direction, that's totally fine. But to me, this is exactly what we're looking for, is how do we find that those extra dollars in places? Because you're absolutely right that in Whitehorse, as an example, the local businesses, oh my gosh, they're inundated, like you said, all the time. I feel guilty if I have to go ask them for money because I know how many people are approaching them. So, yeah, good point.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you're within the communities and stuff, you know, if it's a territorial kind of organization, I think you have to respect that some of the local groups in the communities need some of that support, and as a territorial group or, you know, a regional group or something, that maybe you go elsewhere where you have a bit more access to funding. But that's just my thinking. The other thing we sort of touched on it a bit is, or maybe I didn't, but is the need to find, I guess we did, yeah, the partners, but not just the big funding partners, but the partners within your community or your region or your territory that have the same interests or the same vision. We in Nunavut, there is right now, and I don't know how it is in the other communities, but obviously nationally, youth suicide is higher than I've ever seen it. And so there is money everywhere for youth suicide leadership and recreation. In Nunavut in the last year, I've seen more groups that have nothing to do with recreation, nothing to do with youth, all of a sudden add that to their mandate so they can access funding. And some of them are getting it and some of them aren't. But what we also see is that there's a duplication of some services or some events going on. And so anyone that you're going to go to for a potential partnership for funding also wants to see what kind of partnership you have at the community level. So if you have, you know, if it's a youth group, if the community recreation is doing something and they're working with, it's the same, they're doing, you know, trying to do sort of the same thing as the youth group, who's trying to do sort of the same thing as wellness, who's trying to do sort of the same thing as the local soccer group, you got four different groups right off the bat trying to get the same dollars from the same people. So if you're able, and there's only so many kids in each of those communities. So, you know, we're trying in Nunavut to say, okay, who are some of the people that we're doing the same things with? And I'm kind of fortunate that I'm connected to a lot of the sport organizations in Nunavut as well. So we're partnering with them. And I'll give you a bit of an example. This is a big one. It's not money in, but it's money saved. RPAN has First Air as a sponsor, as a exclusive airline for us. We get a couple free tickets a year, but we get a discount. And, I mean, Jessica and Spider, you guys will know this. I'm not sure what it's like in Yukon. But even with the discount, the travel costs are outrageous. So, and RPAN's fairly, you know, is smaller in terms of numbers for participation on flights. So we had an agreement with them for three and a half years. This year in August, and it was only an annual agreement, so every November or October I'm worried about, you know, what kind of deals we're going to get and rates and all that kind of stuff for the next year. So this year we went to our sport partners because they also try and get discounts. And because most of them are all volunteer driven, they don't necessarily get, you know, agreements for a year. They only get them for each tournament that they need. So the airlines daily are getting requests for discount tickets. As individual organizations, we can't get, you know, we can only get so big of a discount because I'm going to them saying, you know, like I need this year 200 tickets, and that's all I'm going to buy. And soccer's going to them and saying, well, this year I need 400 tickets. And that seems lots to soccer, and 100 seems lots to me, but in the realm of things, it's not. So we went and got almost all the sport organizations on side with us. It's changing how our membership fee is for them next year because they're going to become partners and pay a bit more. But by bringing seven groups now into one contract, instead of having everyone go after First Air on their own, Sport and Rec has the best airline deal with First Air in at least the last 5 years. The prices are still high, but it's the lowest prices RPAN has paid in 5 years. So it may not have been a monetary contribution they made to us, but if we didn't get those discounts, we couldn't host our events, soccer couldn't host theirs, volleyball couldn't host theirs, and so on and so on. So sometimes you have to look at, you know, it's not always money that you need. You know, there's other ways to reduce your costs or that sort of thing. Another group, and I'm not sure if it's in the Yukon, I believe it's in NWT, is Project North. For years, they've been totally targeting hockey, and I think in the last 8 years, has spent almost $1 million on free equipment in Nunavut, which is great for hockey, but though there's way more sports being played in the north that could also use equipment. So I went to them this summer and, you know, sat down. I did a proposal and overview and whatnot and sat down with them. And so right now we only have soccer stuff on side, but I'm working on the other sports. So just talk to them about this is, you know, congratulations on what you guys are doing. That's great for the community. It's great for hockey and that sort of thing. You know, there's every community in Nunavut has a gym. They don't all have operational arenas. But there's tons of kids that don't play hockey. So can we support, you know, some of the other sports? And so this, about a month ago, I just shipped out almost $8,000 worth of equipment, maybe a bit more than that, maybe $10,000, to different communities for soccer that we got from this project. Because they're so focused on hockey, because that's how they started, that, you know, they knew there's other sports going on, but they didn't have anyone to work with to get some of it out there. So there's other organizations out there that are also doing different kind of work that you might not get any money out of, but the value and what you can get from them is going to help. Either you're going to have to buy that equipment through or a community's going to have to buy that equipment through a grant, or as I said with the airline, we can't host a program because we can't afford to pay a non-discounted price. So when you're looking at different different opportunities, the exchange of dollars is not always doesn't always work and it's not always available. So you have to get creative and find out what they do have, you know, and sell your organization to that group as to why they need to be your partner. You know, when we went to Project North, we said we're the only recreation, because in Nunavut, our sport and rec division of the government has no rec staff. So our pens become the default rec people. So we said we're the only recreation organization in all your communities. We have contact with all your rec coordinators, youth coordinators, wellness coordinators, volunteers, all the sport people. So, you know, we believe we're the best partner for you. And you have to sell yourself. Sorry, was someone trying to come on?
I don't think so. I think everybody still. Anybody else want to make a comment or a question? It will vary from territory to territory, basically, on what you were saying, Dawn. So,
yeah.
Anybody
wanting? Sorry.
I was just saying, anybody out there want to make a comment? Okay, we're good to go on.
One of the other things that RPAN is working on right now, and like was just mentioned, it does vary, you know, from territory to territory. You know, you can go to Pond Inlet, and I don't think there's any businesses other than the co-op or Northern Store or Gap. Like, there's not a lot of businesses there. So, you know, that whole buy an hour or something may not work there. One thing that's available online to you guys, to everyone, you have to search for it a little bit and dig for it, but it's there because I found it in it for Nunavut. And you can actually get access to all the big companies that have had, you know, major contract work in Nunavut. They've done retrofits at the schools or the arenas, or they've built houses, or they've done things. Most of those companies are southern companies that leave nothing behind in the communities financially. So we are also in the process of, it will go out not till after Christmas. They're done now, but this, it's a bad time because everyone's asking for Christmas games money and stuff. But you could do it in your communities, because I think all the communities are the same. There's always contract people coming in, you know, and doing some big jobs. But we put together a proposal or a package that along the same lines as that buy an hour of ice time, we said this is what it costs to run, you know, a volleyball kind of event or league or something in the community. They need balls, they need nets. For badminton, they need rackets, they need shuttles, they need nets. You know, we put together these, we price out these packages. We're going to be going to them and saying, would you be interested, you know, in buying a package? Some of these companies have made multi-millions of dollars in the North. And there is a way to diplomatically shame them into supporting the Northern communities, because a lot of them take the money and run, and there's nothing left behind. NWT may be in a similar situation. I think some of their communities rely on barges. I'm not sure about Nunavut, Yukon. But when we have to do barge sea lifts every year to get supplies in, you know, it may be worth going to a company and say, when you're bringing in, you know, all your stuff to build this building that you're getting a $12 million contract for, why don't you buy $5,000 worth of equipment and put on the barge for your community recreation? And, you know, some of them will and some of them won't, but if you don't ask for those kind of things and try and think, you know, how they could do it and benefit you or your community, the worst they can say is no. But you're going to get some of these companies that are going to say yes. And we've had some. There is a program that's based out of Kugluktuk. Now, I don't know how it's going to run after this year because the lady's leaving, but she does a bike program, and her husband's RCMP. So she has an agreement with RCMP. They provide bikes, and she goes to the barge companies, and they ship them up every year on the barge for free. And then she teaches a bike safety program in their communities, and the kids get bikes. So, you know, there's different ways, there's different things to go around, there's different ways to try and get other partners involved that may or may not cost money, but that wouldn't be your obvious partners. And I think that's the big thing is that when I go on the planes or every time I go to the cargo in Ottawa, First Air, I pick up the newspapers and I pick up their onboard magazines. And I take out every single thing that has any reference to any business up there. I go online daily onto the newspapers online and I check out what grants are available, what foundations are coming up, what deadlines there are, who are some of the new partners that are involved. You try and find any way that you can, you know, to get one step ahead because, as we said at the start, everyone's going after the same dollars. So you have to be creative and you have to make that effort to find those extra dollars and find those new partners. And it takes time, you know, and it takes effort, and sometimes it takes more time than your work day. But sometimes that's the options that you have, you know, is you get creative or you don't have, either you don't have a job or you don't have a program for your organizations to run or the communities miss out on something. And in Nunavut, most of our communities don't have the capacity. And I say that in the nicest way in the sense of, one, they don't have the number of the people working in the communities, but two, most of our rec coordinators don't have grade 10 education. So the capacity means the ability to do a lot of this stuff. So therefore, we have to do it or it doesn't happen. So I said there's always, I go on online every single day. I go through CBC News, and that's how I found about the Project North. I went on CBC News, and I saw what they did with some equipment, and then I went to approach them. I went on the news. I go in the newspapers every single day, find out what's going on, who's in the news. Sometimes I know people. Sometimes they shouldn't be in the news. You have to go beyond just looking down the street and see who's on the street there with you and ask them for money. You have to get a little bit creative, and you have to take the efforts to go after those people. Any questions? We have, and I'll do this because none of you guys are going to be going after my IA money. I've been pretty successful with writing out proposals and whatnot. I have one, I think I said at the start of the call, I don't know who was on. Right now I'm going to multiple partners, but it's a $1.2 million ask. And it's for a whole new youth kind of mentor leadership program. Jessica, you'll be happy to know, Kugluktuk's one of the pilot communities with us on this. But it's a good proposal. We have the Department of Justice is contributing money. Each of the Inuit associations are right now. We're going after some bigger funders and foundations. But it's a good proposal. And I don't mind to share the proposals with you guys. Some of you guys may already be great at writing them, and that's super. But sometimes it's always good to look at how people present things in a different way and see, I'm missing this or I'm missing that, and just add to what you're doing. And as I said, I don't mind to share. If you guys want, just let me know, and I can send you off a proposal that we've done up. And that one's a big one for us. I'm pretty proud of that proposal. I think we're going to get the money plus. And so that's a four-year sustainability plan right there. Every year we do a summer day camp staff training, and this past year it was almost a $200,000 project, of which $25,000 came from the GN and the rest came from outside funding. So, we're good at writing the proposals, and we're good at, they're good programs too. That's in part, a big part of it. But I don't mind to share, and I would suggest people potentially look at that Grants Connect. Our very first application on it paid it back, and so there's grants there you never even knew existed. I have four grants on the go right now from that. We might get them, we might not, but I never knew about them before you go on there. And once you're signed up, every month they send you an update with what are the upcoming deadlines so that you don't miss anything. So once you're in the system and you filter out what you want or where you're from and that sort of thing, it will automatically send you updates every month as to the deadlines coming up so you don't miss them. And so it costs a couple bucks, but sometimes you have to pay those couple bucks to get that advantage, in getting access to those grants. Once you know about them, then they're there, but you have to find out about them.
Thanks, Dawn, for that. I think there's going to be a future discussion, perhaps, for those of us that are in the Yukon. See if people are interested, because it is for a small community. $700 is expensive, and maybe they don't have that money to be able to afford that. But if it could be, if there's any way it could be shared and not being illegal about it, that, I think that would make a difference.
We always hear, and like I said, we hear in Nunavut, I do a conference every year, and I pay 100% of the cost, travel, hotel, absolutely everything. Because, this year was $170,000 budget, $75,000. And communities will tell if they can't afford it. And lots of times they can't afford things. But there's two things I always say to them. One, you can't afford not to provide your staff or your volunteers with some kind of training, especially in our region, because they have none. And a big beef of mine, I don't know how it is in the other communities, is if you can afford $20,000 Christmas games, of which you pay someone $100 for winning a pop the balloon contest, then you can afford to invest in your community, in your youth.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the challenges in the north, and I, like I said, I can speak for Nunavut only, is that nobody does anything unless they get paid or they get a big prize. They're not happy with just like a small little thing or just participating. Everyone needs a big expensive prize. And that's one of the things that RPAN is moving. Anything we host, there's no prizes. We'll do things, and we don't host a lot of stuff with tournaments anyways, but, you know, to host something that's only prize-driven means that we're losing all the values of what community recreation is about. And we're teaching kids from a young age that you only do something if you win something. And that's been a long-time issue in Nunavut for sure. But, you know, it does cost sometimes, it does cost money to run programs, but you can also run programs for pretty cheap. And we're so used to saying everything costs tons of money that everything costs tons of money. You know, I had people at conferences, some of the rec coordinators say they would not even apply for a grant if it wasn't at least $10,000. And I was shocked, because if I applied for a $3,500 grant for an after-school program, that could last me all year. And a lot of our communities, you know, will apply for $3,500, and it's a week-long program. And that's why they can't afford it, because they're running them too expensively. So I think there's a lot of change that has to happen, but there's a lot of opportunity for us as well. And so I think, you know, if we get creative, if we identify our partners, both financially and who shares visions and, you know, the human kind of things, you know, I think there's a lot of opportunity for communities to succeed. And you know, if we provide our youth with some backing and support and stuff, I think those are the people that we have to deal, like, work with and get on track. But anyways, those are just some of the things that we do in Nunavut. We've been pretty successful. You know, it's pretty easy for everyone wants to, I say this in the best way, everyone wants to be a part of something that's associated with Aboriginal youth leadership and suicide prevention. There's money everywhere for that. You just have to know where to find it, and you have to make the efforts to go after it, but it doesn't come to you.
Definitely. Thank you. Thanks very much, Dawn. I think it's time for us to wrap up the call. I know I learned a lot today, personally. I'll put one last bit out there if there's anybody that wants to make a comment before we wrap it up. But before that, I just want to, again, thank you, Dawn, for taking the time to speak with us today. Really appreciate it. I will be sending some notes out, so if anybody misses this call, and I'll send it out to everybody that I have on the list. The next teleconference call, just to let people know, when I did the doodle poll, looked like Wednesdays were the best day. Ursula, I am so sorry. You're the only one that's not available on Wednesdays, but everybody else was. So that seems to be what we're going to do. Our next call will be January 18th, and again, I'll send out some information about that. If anybody has any specific topics they wish to discuss, please let me know. What I have so far is bringing community together. This really addresses division amongst various groups within communities. This is a big problem in the Yukon. I don't know if it's as much for NWT and Nunavut. Recruiting and keeping volunteers, we know how valuable they are, how to get beyond the same five people. So I'm sure people can relate to that. Sponsorship. So in addition to what Dawn talked about today, you know, how do you get the companies and local businesses on board? That might be a topic. And risky fun, and that's all connected to risk management. So those are some ideas that we have. I want to thank everybody for being on the call today. And again, if you wish to press star 6 if you have any comments or questions, one last chance to do that right now.
Thanks very much, Dawn. That was great.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Thanks.
Like I say, if anyone wants to contact me, you know, please do, and I can share some of our proposals because I think we do good ones, and I'm sure you guys do as well, but just to get a different idea as to what's out there, and it's worked for us.
Perfect. Yeah, so what I can do is I can – is it okay, Dawn, if I make your contact information available? Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Awesome. That's great. Thank you again, everybody. Nice to hear you today, and have a good rest of the fall into winter up to the Christmas season. I'm sure you guys are ramping up for a very busy time in the next little while, and I'll be in touch for the next conference call in the new year.
Thank you, Mia.
Thank you, Dawn.
You're welcome.
The participant has left the conference.
Thank you, Mia and Dawn.
Goodbye.
Okay, bye for now.
Participant has left the conference.
Jessica?
Stephanie Davidson from Boston.
Brittany, Special Olympics UConn.
A participant has left the conference.
Cindy?
Shelby?
Dawn?
A participant has left the conference.
Ashton Staffin?